I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. And we'll start with the roll call. Eric Stanfield, obviously I'm present. Kay is not present. Just Mark. I think you're present. Brigham?
Present.
Donnell? Not present. Vicky?
Present.
Thank you, Vicky. Arden is also, I believe, not present. And do we have Counselor Hammond? Is she online?
No.
Okay. We were talking earlier. She might pop on, but I guess we'll see. With that, we have a quorum, so we'll go ahead and move to approve the minutes from March 23rd, 2026. Have folks had an opportunity to review that?
I make a motion we accept the minutes.
Okay.
From whatever date it was.
Do we have a second?
I second that.
All right, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All right, all opposed? I think no one. All right, next is hear from the citizens. Do we have any citizens to hear from?
No.
I think we do not. Okay. So we'll go ahead and move on to the communications section 5. And does anyone from the board have anything they would like to provide as an update or a discussion?
I don't.
No.
All right. I think this might be a good opportunity for Mark, if you'd like to introduce yourself briefly, since this is your first meeting. I apologize, I can't be there to meet you in person, but hopefully next time.
Okay, thanks. I moved here with my wife about 4 years ago, right? Spent most of my career in the Silicon Valley. My background is primarily technical. I spent a lot of time on the engineering side, marketing, manufacturing, finance. Most of my work has been in the storage, compute, and cooling technology space. Recently, the last 10 years, I spent with two of the largest data center suppliers worldwide on their storage and compute assets, and still working, right? So recently, I was with a company that did building envelope solutions for large data center buildouts, and now I'm working with a company that does connectivity solutions. They're more of a what's called a neocloud type of a provider. So that's kind of the AI. I mean, they keep changing the words. It's the same thing, right? But it's kind of the AI stuff. So exciting to be here, right? I think it'd be a lot of fun. And so I also have a pretty strong financial background as well. So, you know, and if, I don't know if you want to know my education, I have an electrical engineering degree and a master's in finance, economics, and organization theory. So. Just tools.
Very nice.
Nice. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you. Well, you know what one of the hot topics here is. So I bet if you haven't already, you're probably going to have lots of fun questions to answer on kind of data centers and so forth.
I've already had a few of them.
Yeah, bet. Well, I don't think we have any today. Seriously, thank you for joining the board. I think it sounds like you have a lot of good experience that we'll all be able to benefit from. So good to see you. Brigham, did you have any updates or anything you wanted to offer here at the beginning?
I currently do not have any updates at this time.
All right. And most of what I have to say, I'll save for new business and those sections. So we'll go ahead and move on to Ms. Debbie Moses from the Glen Canyon Conservancy for an update.
Thank you. All right. Well, I'm so glad that March and April are here compared to January and February. So our visitation numbers for our visitor center here in Page was about 650 for March, 6,000 people for Navajo Bridge. And then as far as Carl Hayden, which is usually in the thousands, we have not received numbers from the Park Service for Carl Hayden. However, our sales for March were, the sales portion was up 23% over last year. So in comparing it to 2025, it doesn't seem like there was a lot more visitation compared to March of 2025, but they seem to be buying more. So I won't complain for that. And April, again, a sigh of relief. We're in step with what we did in 2025, and I don't have specific numbers as far as visitation goes yet, but March was great. On an operational side, I believe I mentioned last month that we do continue to have the building that houses the museum up for sale. It is for sale for $1.395 million. The board has made the decision to, we are still caring for the archives, as I've said before, and organizing them, but we will be moving them back over to the museum building until we sell that museum building, because we need to release the rental facility that we've been renting since 2019 to keep the archives there. Again, always looking for free space, and we'll be making other decisions with those archives. But we do, reminder too, we have the large topographical map that has moved over to our visitor center flagship store, and that's been great. So it hasn't generated a lot more people coming in compared to last year, but it's been great having it there. May, there's a lot of events going on. We are partnering with Grand Circle Arts Alliance for having a First Fridays event, so every Friday. So the first one is May 1st from 6 to 9, and we'll have music and, you know, food and drinks and artists. Let's see, and then the second thing going on, because our partner is the National Park Service, we're partnering with them to have an educational cultural demonstration on May 2nd. A lady is coming in to demonstrate Hopi basket weaving all day in our store across the street. And so we, as part of our service to the Park Service, you know, we pay for her stipend, and in order to provide that educational opportunity for the community. Third, we are, and this is kind of just a fun different thing, we are collaborating with Historic Brewing out of Flagstaff. They've developed a labeled craft brew for us, Lone Rock Summer Ale. I don't even drink, but if they want to do this and give us 10% of the sales, okay. So they will. We're partnering with them for the May 30th concert for the city, and they're providing the beer. And then we also have an event on June 14th that will be the Lone Rock tasting event at Wawib, and Aramark's a part of that. So it's a full like three-tiered partnership there. So moving forward, making some progress. I'm happy that visitation is here, and even with low water, things seem to be moving right along. So do you have any questions?
The First Friday, is that going to be at the Conservancy then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, between 6 and 9.
Okay.
This Friday. Come on down.
That's really great. I think that'll be a good collaboration, good for both Grand Circle Arts and you guys, just kind of getting people in there. It's a good space for that too. So that's really great news.
Yeah, I haven't heard what artists they've gotten, but then they'll just be selling their stuff. It's not like it's going through us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, does anybody else have any questions or any discussion?
Thank you.
All right, yes, thank you, Debbie. We'll go ahead and move on to 5C with Miss Judy Franz. Thanks, Judy.
Hi, guys. Well, I will tell you, I'll be on for just a short period. I've been battling whatever this horrendous thing is going around town. It's been awful. My face, you can see it in my face. We had a good March. We are actually only now down 3% at the visitor center. And I was excited to see that. The numbers were really good. The top for the domestics was number one, Arizona, of course. Number two, California. But number three came in under Colorado, which was interesting for us. We don't typically see Colorado in that column. And then when we got into the internationals, our number one was Canadians, which we love seeing them come back. Number two was Germany. And then tied was three was Chile and France, which was an odd combo. But we're seeing a lot of people actually come in that are out of different places back in the Midwest, places we don't typically see. So I'm really excited seeing that coming in. We have been super, super busy ourselves, and Brendan and I both have been going through this. So we've been trying to work through it. It's kind of been a nightmare for us, but we're hanging in there. I will say that our numbers were 1,329 for March. We are pretty well steady throughout the week now and even into the weekends. We're still only staying open till noon on Sunday until I see it really increase so I can financially look at payroll and say if it's worth it. The number one thing is, of course, been trying to find a good candidate to work on the weekends. Very hard to find good workforce right now. I am frustrated with that. The people that applied, I'm not willing to justify just putting a body in there. So we've been working a lot of it ourselves, but I do have somebody coming in tomorrow who's been highly recommended, good recommendations. So we'll see how that all pans out. We are gonna be doing the car show vendor fair this weekend. We're excited, we're back on that again, which we love. And we got a lot of vendors this weekend, a lot of good food vendors, arts and craft vendors. Then we're going into, we're already working on Balloon Regatta, which is full force already. Already got the music already lined out for the 2 days. We're not doing 3 days this year. It's way too much and it's way too costly. And then lastly, we are working on, which everybody's been asking us, the Best of Page. It's gonna be really fun. It's called Mingle and Jingle. We're gonna make it a whole holiday theme. And I already have gotten some amazing option items coming in. So we're looking forward to the end of December. It'll be the normal time that we have our mixer with the Courtyard by Marriott. They will be hosting. And this year we're gonna bring back prime rib. Everybody asked for that. So we're bringing back prime rib this year. So that's kind of what's on our plate with the exception of the Cinnamon Classic. We're working on that. We've got some pretty good little entries coming in. That's gonna be on May 16th. At the Para Club, and it's gonna be for the best cinnamon roll in Page, and then we're gonna collaborate. Brenda is a book. We're gonna put it in the hub and let people see who's got great recipes in town. So all in all, things are on the upswing, and I'm hoping to be on the upswing soon.
Thank you, Judy. How would you say the March numbers are compared to last year at this time?
Well, we're just 3% from last year. So we're only just down 3%. So I'll take it. I mean, I think by next month, when I do the numbers, we're gonna be in the plus, which is amazing. The one thing that's hurting, and I mentioned this, and I don't like to sound like a broken record, but having the increase in the in the passes for the internationals has not helped, because a lot of people have complained about that. It's just too costly for them. And the other thing is also the tour prices. We had people in last week.
National park passes?
Yeah, the national park pass for an international is $250 compared to what we pay, which is $80. That's a big jump. And then beyond that, there's also a $100 fee. I haven't clear on where that one's coming in from, but it's like if you go into the park and just the park, it's $100 per person. That's pretty steep if you got four or five people in your car. So we're hearing a lot of grumbling from people on that. So hence we hear a lot of what is there to do free. So we're trying to provide whatever we can out there. The other thing is, you know, the Antelope Canyon Tours, which is probably the most popular, it's expensive. There's no way around it. You have a family of four or five, you're looking at $500-$600. So that has also been a deterrent for people I see, because they tell us that, and they say we can't do that. That's just too out of our budget. So we're trying to keep up with what can we offer that's affordable for people, and we'll see how the rest of the season goes. And I hope that, you know, the other thing I will mention, we have a lot of scamming going on online, a lot of third party scamming. And I'm really on the hunt for this right now, trying to see what I can do. Because people are coming into us and they book tours online, and they get here and the tour is not available because either the company A overbooked it and they thought they had all these seats and they didn't, or B, they're not even a viable company. One of them was posing as Viator, which we all know is a very reputable company. So that has been a real big deterrent for a lot of people. So I have been trying to tell people on the Hub newsletter and then putting it out there, please be careful when you're booking. Call us directly, call the company directly, but don't go through these third-party bookings, because they really are, they are hurting people. There's no doubt about it. So that's all I have, guys, if anybody has any questions.
Hey, Judy, I may have misunderstood, but when you were talking about that $100 fee, that's for,
yeah,
that's for like the Premier Park, like Grand Canyon. So
right, and that's what they're, yeah. Is that for per, and I, like I said, I wasn't clear on that. I just know the 250. Is that when they go into just the park, if they have the park pass, they don't have to worry about that, right?
Right, right. The $100 would be like for, they just wanted to go in for a day, but it's not all the national parks, so it's not going.
But they're not clear on it, and I think that's where the problem, I think that maybe,
yeah.
I don't know. So we've been trying to get people to really read off on it, and I got to do that. Like I said, we've been kind of down for the count. So I just had this one come in the other day, and they were complaining about it. So I'm going to get something in print and hand it out to them.
Okay. But I guess so it's to summarize, Grand Canyon
for like
have an extra $100 fee. So
it's only Grand Canyon?
Like the big ones, Grand Canyon. Yeah,
Arches, or Zion's.
Mm-hmm.
So is it $50 for multiple parks, basically for the park?
Oh yeah,
and just like $100 for one.
Yeah, it's just like us when we go in and we have a park pass, we can go to any park. The internationals are paying $250 for the same park pass that we're paying $80 for. So.
Judy, have we considered any sort of kind of lobbying at the congressional level on this stuff? Because I really do that that's going to be a big problem in the long term. Have you guys done any work on that? I mean, is there may also be something that we could recommend to the city to talk to, you know, our representatives in Arizona to try to work on that, because that's going to hurt us a lot.
Well, and I agree with you. The chamber doesn't typically lobby. That's in our bylaws. However, I do think that it needs to get on board with someone that we could get out there on this, because it is going to be a deterrent for people, and whatever we can do, because it's not just the park passes, it's the lake. We're getting a lot of heat about the lake. I know that personally from my own guide service business. People calling us asking, is Bill even guiding this year because there's no water in your lake? And I have fielded so many phone calls from the news people trying to get a story out of me, and I just refuse to give them the negative. And we do have water there. We're doing okay. It's low. There's no doubt about it. But it's going to be a tough year on the lake, and I think that's the two areas that we really have to focus on.
Okay. That's good to know. And, you know, I don't know, there may already be things happening, but if the city is, you know, if there's a possibility that we could make some recommendations and try to communicate with our representatives, I think that could be something useful to discuss on that topic.
I agree.
Are there any other questions or discussions that other folks would like to have with Judy?
Judy, this is Mark. I just have a question. Where the numbers that you were talking about, where can I reference those numbers?
Oh, we track every month, Mark. So we have a sheet every day. People walk into the visitor center, and we have it broken down. Yeah. So, and you can get a copy of that sheet if you like. If you'll send me your email,
sure.
I'd be happy to send you that. I send it out monthly. I know Eric gets a copy of it. And you can just send it to judy@pagechamber.com, and then I'll put you on my list.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
I'm going to cut out, Eric, okay?
Well, you get to feeling better.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm hoping to.
Okay.
I am.
That too, Judy. That's a bad one.
It's a really bad one. Yeah, and people that have had it, some have had it for 2 or 3 weeks. Poor Kathy Steffen at the food bank has not even been able to go to work because of it. So anyway, I'll be back in the office, but thank you guys, and I'll see you next month.
Thank you, Judy.
All right, Judy.
Bye.
Also, Amanda just called and said she's having trouble getting on Zoom. I don't know, Jackie, if you're seeing anything pop up, but I think she's trying to get on.
I haven't seen anything pop up, like, of her requesting to get in.
Amanda, do you have the most recent, Zoom email? We got one probably this afternoon. Sorry, guys.
Oh, okay. Yep, I was trying to go off the calendar invite.
Okay, all right. We'll look for you on there.
Thanks.
Okay, talk to you in a minute. Bye. Okay, I think Amanda is joining. Sorry. So, let's see, what do we have next? All right, now we'll move on to staff reports. Discussion from Jackie. Jackie, what do you have for us?
Just give me a minute.
Or she's multitasking behind, she's playing IT.
Hi, I'm in.
Okay. All right, we've moved through the reports from the Conservancy and the Chamber of Commerce, and we're at 6A. So Jackie, whenever you're ready.
Okay, thanks. So I think I would like to share that Adam and I, we released the first edition of the tourism newsletter last month for April. We have about 3,000 email subscribers for that list, and I just got done making another one for May, and I'm pretty happy with the contents on that. And we just finished up making a new economic development newsletter to go out for the first time in May. We have about 170 subscribers for that list. And I think, Adam, he pulled an article that he wrote he put it on Facebook and we put it onto the newsletter. And I think it does a really good job of describing what's happening here in town and making it digestible for people like myself that aren't too number savvy. I think it's pretty digestible for most people, and I'll let him talk more about it. So we added that. We added some of the few new businesses that opened here in town. But that's going to be releasing for the first time here on Friday, May 1st. So I'm excited about that. For the Youth Advisory Commission, they just had their first movie night on last Saturday. They played Top Gun Maverick, the new one. They had 17 people attend here at the Para Building, and they were very happy with how that turned out. They served some popcorn and some drinks, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else they would like to do in the future. This was really their first event that they took on by themselves, so I'm really proud of how that turned out. They did a really good job doing that. And I guess moving on to social media, I've been keeping up with just like the city communications on the City of Page side. We've been getting more of the news and announcements, so like road work and alerts, nothing too serious, like in a bad way, but just so people know what's going on. And these are also copied onto the City of Page app, so it gives you a notification when a new alert goes out, versus you scrolling through Facebook and you just so happen to come across that post. The app is really useful for just getting those messages instantly. And then for tourism, the visit page, social media, I've been putting more of the events, like the local events, on there. We just have so many going on, and I think the visitors really do enjoy going to those, and a lot of them are free. And like Judy said, they're always asking for what they can do around town for free, and I really do think that helps them stay here for a little bit longer and hopefully spend some more money on, you know, just eating out versus having to spend admission into an event. But I think that's all I have for this month, unless anyone has any questions for me.
I have a question. I noticed that the Elm Street Market, it looked really active and really good. I know that's not necessarily yours, that's more under events, but do you have any sense of, you know, how that compares to prior years? I mean, mine was only, you know, kind of walking by and looking at that. It looked pretty busy. And, you know, Judy mentioned that there were more vendors that were going to be available for other events. Are you guys noticing that there are more of these vendors for these types of events and it's easier to get access? How is that looking from your view?
I don't have access to, like, how many vendors do attend the events put on by Lisa and her department. And I don't believe that they keep track of the one on Elm Street. So I'm sorry, I don't have that information, but I do know that, you know, compared to the years in the past, there were like vendor fees involved, and Lisette doesn't charge those vendor fees. It's all free for any vendor to set up. They just need to register in advance, and that's just for the events, for the outdoor market. You know, it's first come, first serve, no registration or fee. We might be able to look at the Placer AI data to see how many people are going to the outdoor market. So we could take a look at the years before. I just haven't been out there in a while, so I can't really tell you what my opinion is, if it's grown significantly.
Okay, well, and that's fine. I do think that that's something that we might like to keep track of, because even though that it's small so far, I think it's something that could grow a lot. And, you know, one of the things that we've talked about in the past is, you know, thinking about things like that and even other opportunities as business incubators. There's a lot of people with interest in doing that kind of stuff in our community. And, you know, all tourists like that, people that are coming to visit, they get to meet and interact with people and spend money. There's lower barriers to kind of entry with doing business like that. So I think to the extent that we can support that and bring more vendors and small businesses into our community and kind of cultivate that, I think that that's going to be a really good complement you know, for our residents, but also for tourists that are coming to visit. So something we can pay attention to and consider ways we can support. Are there any other questions for Jackie? Okay, thank you for the report. Jackie, we'll go ahead and move on. Is Sylvia in the room? I'm sorry, I can't quite see everybody there.
She won't be presenting tonight.
Okay, well then, Adam, I think that that puts you next.
Okay, thank you. Just to elaborate a little bit on the Elm Street market data, we can easily collect that on Placer. We can get the domestic visitors for that. It's a little harder to track the international, but at least that can give us a picture, and we can see, at least for the attendees, not necessarily the vendors, we can kind of follow what the trends are with that. And we can get that information over to the events team too, so they can have a better idea and plan accordingly. So I appreciate that. Okay, so now for my updates. Just a couple things. Jacqueline will be preparing a quick demonstration of the new Choose Page website that I've been working on. But before that, our first digital passport is now live. So this is the historic Highway 89, the Mother Road to the Wonder Road passport that we created in celebration of the Route 66 centennial to highlight some of the historical locations and interesting sites along the route, starting in Flagstaff. And it takes you all the way up to Page, past Horseshoe Bend, and ends at the Glen Canyon Dam. So that's been launched. We haven't really been advertising it too extensively at this point, just to kind of get the bugs out of the system. But we have had quite a few participants already, and we're going to begin mailing out the prizes for that, which are a sticker pack. And it's actually a custom-made sticker pack that's based on vintage 1950s stickers of the area. So it's something that you can't buy anywhere. You can only get it by completing the activity. So we're already working on our second digital pass, which is called 48 Hours in Page. And this one is just going to be focused in the city, well, a little bit outside the city with some of the canyon tours. However, this is a little different. They're actually building this one for us, and it includes doing business outreach, which we're working on as well. And the idea is it's more of just a digital passport. It also has some promotions and coupons in it so that visitors can come and save a little bit of money, and also have an idea of what they can do in the area. And it's designed in a way to where if you want to win the prizes, you have to stay for 48 hours. So there's enough activities that you'd have to complete. There's no way you could do it in one day. So it encourages overnight stays, and that's the whole point of it. And another benefit to this is that it's translated in Chinese and Spanish as well. So we're going to get that information out, the QR code, so that our international visitors could easily scan that and have a translated itinerary for them while they're here, because that tends to be an issue, the language barrier with some of our visitors, as far as getting the information as to all the activities and businesses that we have in the area. So that's going to be the big one, I think, and really the one where we see the most amount of benefit. And the great thing is we can track how many people are downloading the passports. We can track what they're doing, the activities that they're checking in at. And then we also get their contact information that then we can add into our tourism newsletter, so that we can send them a follow-up. We also get their phone information, and we can send text messages through the app as well. So that way we can reach out and share information about local activities and events and things that are occurring. So that will be the second one. And then A little more ambitious will be the third one, which will be the Grand Circle. So it establishes Page as the heart of the Grand Circle. It will have various check-ins along the route, the expanded route. And in order to collect your prizes for that one, you'll have to show up in Page. So it really draws from the Grand Circle visitors and brings them here. So that's an exciting one. And then ultimately, the last one that I'm planning is a historic Highway 89, which also places Page in the center of the historic highway. And it has routes along the whole way. And again, you'll have to come through Page to pick up your prizes. So working with different groups on that, I've talked to the Navajo Nation Tourism Department to get their buy-in on some of the stops on the way. And we'll collaborate with other cities. I've talked with Winslow, and we'll reach out to Flagstaff and other cities close to us. It'll be part of that. So that will be a fun one, too. Looking forward to those passports. So as Jacqueline mentioned, we now have the tourism newsletter. Initially, I was hoping to hit 10,000 by the end of the year, but we're actually going way too quickly, and we're going to hit that way before. So I need to move the goalpost in a good direction and say, well, let's try to get 20,000 by the end of the year. And then also we have the economic development newsletter as well. So previously in these meetings, just to catch Mark up too, I've been explaining some of the data. When I first got here, I was really set on getting some new data sets for us so that we can really better inform our marketing efforts going forward. And we were able to do that. So we have CoStar, we have Placer AI. That's the one that works with the cell phone pings, basically. It has to be either a domestic phone or a phone with a domestic SIM card in it. So we're not capturing all of the international visitors with that, but that's where we're looking at other data sources. So we also have AirDNA, which is tracking all of the short-term rentals in town. And that's telling us we have about 500 short-term rentals between here and including Green Haven as well. CoStar reports about 2,500 rooms in our total inventory. And so that brings us up to 3,000, not including the RV parks and campgrounds. So just looking at those numbers, we easily have capacity for 15,000 tourists in any given day, just for hotel capacity. As far as daily population too, that's closer to 35,000 during peak time. So even though we only have 7,500 residents in the community, the data is showing us that we get pretty filled up here and get a lot of visitors. So very substantial amount of visitation in this community. So another thing that I've been working on, well, aside from getting all the data sources and explaining that data here, now I'm going to be putting all of that in a newsletter. And so the first one is going out May 1st, but the main article that was an economic summary of a lot of the data that we've received and kind of just a thoughtful analysis on what that can mean, that's been published on our new Choose Page Facebook page. And all of the articles will be posted on there. We have about 10 posts already and a couple of different articles that I've written. And then we're sharing information with Coconino County, as well as the state and the Arizona Commerce Authority for some of their initiatives, such as Tech Week and things like that. So it's just a good place to share economic information that might not necessarily fit through the city social channels. And so we've talked about some of the new businesses opening and just things that affect business-oriented residents and prospective businesses as well. So all of that information is going to go out onto a newsletter and also on the new website that is currently in development, which will be choosepage.com. Moving on with marketing efforts. So back to tourism for a moment. For international marketing, we work with Brand USA. It's a marketing co-op that is federally ran, And the advantage there is that for every dollar that we spend, we get $3 or $4 total in value. So it's a 1-to-4 basically as far as equivalent ad spend. So it's a lot more cost effective for us to go through these co-ops for international marketing. And with that, we've kind of focused on the UK, Mexico, and Germany right now. And for additional international countries, those we're doing on our own. So we've contacted a Chinese marketing company called China Pro Marketing, and we've developed a pretty extensive marketing plan with them to help promote page and across the Chinese social media channel. So we're going to be starting that next month, and we'll be able to really track how that's helping too, because now that we have all of that data, we can see if a lot of the things that we do have any kind of measurable lift, and then we can continue to adjust our marketing plans based on that. So we're really going to be tracking ROI and the value of our ad spend. On top of that, we're looking at doing marketing in India across their OTA platforms that they have there. Same for Japan. They have a couple of OTAs that are very specific for Japan, so we're going to be targeting those. For the remaining countries, which are quite a few, speaking of Canada too, we're seeing the same thing, that Canadian visitors are starting to come back, and they're coming back in force compared to where they were last year, so that's some really good news. We're also seeing a lot of increase in French tourists, so we hosted the very first inaugural flight from France to Las Vegas. We hosted a fam tour, so the idea was they could come out and see all the locations close to Vegas that they can visit while they're here, and they really enjoyed their time in Page. They checked out Horseshoe Bend, they got a canyon tour, and then they also saw a show at Red Heritage, and they really enjoyed it. The one of the ladies, she's a travel agent, and she said, "I've sold hundreds of these Red Heritage shows, and I'm so glad that I finally get to see it for the first time." So that was great. And we're going to continue to host more fam trips as time goes by, including some from China now that we're going to be getting from our China Pro Marketing that we're engaged in. So that's pretty much it for the international side. We're working with Brand USA to get listings on Viator and Get Your Guide. So these are kind of like the Amazon of tourism SKUs. And so we're making sure that we're going to be well represented on there with a unique landing page. We're also getting a new landing page on AmericaTheBeautiful.com through Brand USA. And that's going to be translated into 7 languages. So we'll definitely have somewhere to point to, at least for a lot of our international marketing efforts. And so we're going to definitely move forward and try to promote Page as much as possible. There has been a little bit of a slowdown in some areas. Horseshoe Bend visitation is slightly down month over month and year over year. So just looking at, ways to focus more on marketing Horseshoe Bend again, and to try to pick up some of that. But yeah, it's a lot of good news and just a few pinch points, you could say, that are occurring right now, and we'll continue to follow the data, and pretty soon we'll have all the April numbers in. So look forward to the next report that'll continue the story of where we're going with that. And I think that's pretty much it for me for this section, and we'll pick it up again for the website demo and the City Hall digital signage portion coming up.
I have a question.
Okay.
What do you do in your spare time?
Nothing that I can think of, because I don't have any spare time.
That's an amazing report.
Oh, thank you. Any other questions?
Okay. Amazing. That's it.
Sorry, I was on mute, but I was trying to talk. So I was curious, you know, Adam, you and I had a conversation about looking at different places in the community that we, you know, these are maybe abandoned buildings, facilities, things like that, that we want to kind of, that we want to market to businesses, to bring businesses in, or even, you know, locals. You'd probably be better to say a little bit about that. There's no formal plan, but I think it's an interesting discussion that's very relevant to the kind of work that you and Cynthia do. Would you mind saying a little bit about what we chatted about? Nothing too formal, but the thing that made me think of it is that I know Red Heritage is moving to a new space, and that will open up that large venue, what used to be the Gunsmoke, and that's a large kind of event. It's a private event space, but it is right in the middle of Block 17, and so it did occur to me that, you know, talking to the owners about that might be provide some interesting opportunities for the event staff, and it's right in the mix there with a bunch of businesses there. So I think there could be some opportunities, but thinking the same way through, you know, the old steakhouse, Ken's, those types of things that we chatted about.
Yeah, no, thanks for bringing that up. I think that was a really good discussion. And so as far as economic development is concerned, typically those empty spaces are the first things that you want to get filled before you build something new or shovel new dirt. You know, the point is to fill those empty units. And so that is really critical to keep track of that. And so part of that plan, I'll speak a little bit more on that when we review the new website, but it has the ability for agents and owners to list properties on there and then actually populate some of that data that's a little better suited for prospective businesses. Also, so once we get the list of all these properties that are derelict or empty that we want to focus on, we can take those lists out to a lot of the conferences that Sylvia and I will be attending, trying to promote business. And then all of those listings, if the owner or agent agree, can also be featured on our Choose Page website as well. So once we have a point to start marketing those properties, then that's kind of the first step to be able to do that. So, well, actually, first is identifying them. And I think that from our discussion too, the sections that we kind of highlighted, I know we talked about public works building, but there might be other plans for that one. However, in that general area, we did identify quite a few empty buildings that would be ideal candidates for listing and promoting to prospective businesses going forward. So I'll talk more about that on the website portion.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Geller?
Sure, this is Mark, I have one question. So the abandoned buildings or the derelict properties, are those privately held or are they in foreclosure?
They're, from our understanding, we're going to have to do some research first, but that's what CoStar is really good at. It can help track the history of ownership for those properties. It has a function called real ownership so that you can actually get to the bottom of who owns them. And so I think that'll be a really valuable platform when it comes time to start getting that data. A lot of them, you know, they are privately owned. In the case of some of them, I'm not aware of any type of foreclosure process or forbearance or pre-foreclosure, but there are, you know, sometimes concerns with the maintenance of the building and things like that too, when not much is occurring. So it'll just be a matter of beginning that research and then trying to identify the owners and see if they're willing for us to come in and try to help. So you know, there we do have quite a few buildings with a lot of potential and really key areas. So that, I think, is a really important process to move forward with.
Okay.
Perfect. So who would kind of chair that discussion on how to encourage these owners to do something other than just squat on the property?
So we do a lot of business outreach, business retention, and we talk to a lot of the local businesses, Sylvia and I, who are managing economic development. Okay. And so typically we would try to make a contact to them and have them come in and talk to us and just start a discussion and see what's going on with the property. So, everything will be framed very positively that we're here to help and see some movement on some of these locations. So I think with the tourism data, we have to kind of reinforce the value of what they have. They might not really realize that someone would love to come in and open a business in some of these locations, and we can help give them some strategies and ideas to move forward. Additionally, we're looking at doing a facade improvement program in 2027 so that they can apply for funds matching improvements on the buildings for facades. So that's another important step right there. And then also our downtown beautification project too is really just going to change the look of the Dam Plaza, Safeway Plaza, and the park. So I'm not sure if you've seen some of those concepts that the consultant has come up with, but that's really going to be a huge catalyst for improving the look of downtown and then increasing property values across the board. So that and the facade improvement program and then just the Choose Page website, we're hoping that's going to be a good strategy to get some of those empty buildings going again.
Awesome. So it sounds like you have a lot of free time to work on some of this stuff. So are you the point? I'm just kidding. Basically, what you said. Right? So are you the point of contact to have a discussion with? Just kind of bad ideas around to interface with the property owners or figure out how to encourage people to come to the table.
So I would say let us take the lead on the research and figure and get that information squared away and then identify some potential properties where we could move to the next steps with that.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks.
The city still owns some of the properties and buildings, right?
We do own some properties, and so that is kind of the other side of this is the land sales and building sales, and that would be more under Sylvia's department. So she'll be presenting at the next meeting. I'd recommend kind of seeing where we're at with that with some of those.
Good, great.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really a good issue for us to track as we move on to kind of see what kind of progress we can make on it. Do we have any, I know this is kind of something new that we've been talking about. Do we want to think about in the long term, maybe kind of having timelines? I know it helps to kind of set targets, even if we don't make them, to see how to incorporate this, or is that something you're already thinking about?
I'm a big fan of KPIs and timelines. I think that we have to hold ourselves to some kind of accountability. So I think that maybe that's even something that maybe this board can help out with, is kind of prioritize where we want to go with some of these projects. We do have limited funds and bandwidth, so some things are definitely going to take precedence. And so I would look to the board's input on some of that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Frank Marbury, City Manager. Just want to jump in on this for a bit, and Adam may not even know it yet, but I'm about to start talking about that with my leadership team as far as setting timelines and schedules as part of our strategic planning process. So any help from the boards we get on that as well. I think I've been here long enough that it's about time to start implementing those schedules and working on that for really all of the city functions, but with this subject matter as well. So I think it's perfect timing you brought that up.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Thank you. All right, are there any more questions or further discussion?
I would like to see Lisette or somebody from the events program come up and give us a talk on what's happening in the city, because I don't do what you do. So it would be nice to know about the events that's coming up each month and have one of the,
I can coordinate.
Yeah, I agree. Those are important kind of drivers of economic development, you know, the Elm Street Market. And, you know, I know there was an arts festival and those sorts of things. Adam, I'm sorry if I cut you off.
No problem. I just said I can coordinate that and make sure. It might not be the next meeting, but we'll get someone from the events team out to give an overview of what's going on with that and what we're looking at.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we could think about having like quarterly updates from them or something. Not, we don't need them every month, probably, but okay. Thank you. All right. Well, if there's no more on that, then we can go ahead and move to new business.
Mr. Chair, Frank Marbury again. Could I maybe add one more update that may interest the Economic Development Board, just in case you haven't heard? The council, gosh, I think it was last week. It's been so long. But as far as the airport service, the Essential Air Service, the council recommended going with Contour for 4 years as alternate EAS. That gives us the most flexibility, I think, as far as our air service go. But for those that maybe weren't aware of that meeting, that's what they recommended. And the route they recommended to the DOT is to look at, of course, Phoenix, but also Las Vegas, as far as those routes go. So we'll hopefully get word from the DOT in the next couple days on that, but just wanted to keep the board up to date on that as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, I appreciate that. What was the vote on that?
The vote count?
Yes.
6-1, I believe.
Okay. All right. Are there any questions or comments on that? All right. So we'll go ahead and move on to new business. And with that, we have, sounds like we have a presentation on whosepage.com. So I'll pass it back to Mr. Geller, I think.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
So this is a kind of a prototype or like a beta release of the Choose Page website that is being built out. And you'll notice that it kind of looks like a real estate site. That's because that's the template that it started out as. And the idea is so that we can add properties on the city side, and as well as have business owners or building owners add their properties as well, and listing agents. And then we'll go out and promote this site on its own, and so potential businesses can come in and see the properties that are available for them to purchase. And then they'll also have a dashboard on here that's going to be kind of a visual representation of a lot of the information that we've talked about and collected with our new data platform. So it's all going to be in one place, and so prospective businesses can see the results of our marketing efforts. They can see how many tourists we're getting. They can purchase land. We even have an option where they can purchase existing businesses if the businesses want to list their businesses for sale on here. And then we're kind of on here to mediate it all and to provide resources and support for those perspective businesses. So that's kind of the idea of this website. It's just a home for some of the new projects to live, to provide updates on city projects and economic development related projects and resources. So if you could scroll down a little bit here, you can see some of the features that we're going to add. So you'll be able to check out.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to interrupt. Is there a way to share it so I can see it? I can't see what we're looking at.
Can you oh, she's working on it.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt the flow.
Can you see it now?
Can you see it now?
No.
Okay, so you can also just go to the URL that's choosepage.com/home-1, and you should be able to see it there.
Okay, well, it's popped up for me now anyway, so
we're all good. Okay. So do you want to go back to the top for a second and then just some of the navigational functions that we have will be the data dashboard, the commercial listings, local resources, and then a section for the city land sales and then a place to contact. The website users will be able to create their own login information. They'll be able to subscribe to the newsletter here and control the opt-in settings for that. Okay, and then go ahead and scroll down. So there, we're going to have new projects, the property search, and then all the data, not just the nice-looking animated charts and whatnot. We're going to actually have some of the raw data on there, too. Then keep scrolling down just to show some of the sections that we're going to have on here. A little thing to reach out if you want to relocate your business, some information about business relocation and other resources. This is also a mobile-friendly site. It works across various devices. And then we have, it's a WordPress platform, so we're able to attach various plugins to easily increase functionality as we go. So it should be really flexible and easy to update. It's something that's easy to use, and we can edit it in-house, so we're not relying on a third party to build this out or anything. But basically, I'm presenting this just to get some feedback and ideas. And I can email anyone the link too if they want to check it out at home and get back to me. But if anyone has any suggestions of features that we could add into it or other things before it goes live. I'm willing to accommodate what the board would like to see with that. So, any questions on the website?
This is what you do in your spare time.
Okay. This is my weekend hobby.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I think it looks really great. I don't have anything right off the top of my head. It looks like you guys have good visuals. I think that's important. I mean, you know, I do think one of the great assets of our community is the landscape. It's very scenic. So I think to the extent that we can, you know, show that off partially through here would be good. I don't know if it would be useful to have, a photography section or something like that. Probably just build it into what you already have. But I think making sure that we're kind of elevating that part of it is going to be useful and fairly easy based on some of these other items are a little bit more complicated, but I think that's an easy way to do it. But otherwise, I'd like to spend a little bit more time looking at it individually and maybe share feedback separately that way.
Okay.
Are there other comments, questions, suggestions from board members?
No.
Adam, one other question that's popped into my head. So for some of these data sources, you mentioned, some of it will be, the raw data, and then you'll have probably some infographics and cartoons and those sorts of things. Is there a lot of the data that you have from the different databases, Placer, AI, DNA, those sorts? Do they have historical data available pretty well on those, or is it?
It depends. Depends on the platform. Placer is not so good with historical data. They haven't been around that long, so they don't have some of the older stuff. I think you can go back to 2021 with them. CoStar is really good because they got all the STR data, and so you can go back 20 years, which is really fantastic on that side of things. As far as our city sales tax data, we go back to 2021. But I think that there probably would be a way to make a request to get some of the older ones if needed. So I'll look into that.
Yeah, and you know, with that, I just think that those are going to be good opportunities to show that there's a trajectory of growth here. You know, I'm sure folks like Vicky, you know, you've seen things change a lot in your time here, but especially over the past 10 years, things have really skyrocketed, I think, visitation-wise, and I think that'll be probably shown in a lot of these data sets, and I think that'll give, you know, a lot of folks more confidence if they're considering, you know, opening up new businesses or expanding things in Page.
Yeah, where that's really apparent is the hotel tax revenue. There's years where we saw 30 and 40% increases year over year, so it's that's a really dramatic way to see some of that. That's available now on the city's finance page, so I recommend taking a look at that. It's very digestible and easy to understand, and paints the picture of what's really going on here as far as our increase in tourism over the last 10 years.
Okay, and I assume that's one of the links that you have on resources.
It will be. That'll be on the site. And I'll see if I can maybe get some of those older reports, too, to add on our side, because I think that would be valuable to see, especially since a lot of the biggest changes were from 2018 and on is really when it started. So if we can go back a few years, I think that would be good.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. We'll look forward to kind of seeing that grow. I think we can be ready for item 7B for the new digital sign at City Hall, maybe at City Hall. Adam, I think that one's you too.
Yep.
You go, Adam. You go.
A lot of projects. So just a little backstory about this. I think that this discussion kind of began before I was here as far as getting some digital signage out at City Hall. And it actually goes back even further to when the library digital sign was put up. That, I think, was the first one and actually the only one that the city has to display event information on currently at this time. But not a lot of people are not everyone are driving over on that side of town, so we wanted something closer to the stores and businesses to downtown to display city information, important information about lake updates, things like launch ramps, local events that are occurring, even just having a small clock and temperature too as part of that sign, because there is a lot of confusion about time changes between here and the Navajo Nation in Utah. So it's an idea that came up previously, and originally the idea was to have one at City Hall, one at the sports complex, and one at the airport. However, this is the consolidated version that's more budget friendly, and it's just one really nice sign at City Hall. And it actually would be designed by Yesco, who did the signage that are at the entrances to the city, the City of Page logo signs. So it would have the same look and feel as those. And so what I'm asking here today is to review the designs and then see if there's any particular ones that the board likes, or if not, maybe some suggestions that we can take back to Yesco and they can go back to the drawing board and come up with something else. There was another option that was looked at previously, and it involved adding signage to an existing monolith that is right past the golf course when you come into town. It's on private property. It's part of the Vista Hotel there that is now the View, the Lake Powell View Suites. And the idea was is that we would partner 50-50 with the business owner and put our digital sign there, and see if, you know, that might be a more cost-effective option because we're not necessarily building a new monolith for it. But we would only be able to advertise 50% of the time. So they would cover half and we would cover half. So that would be a more cost-effective way to get a great location. However, from what I understand, I think that that building is now for sale. So we're deciding probably not to move forward with that direction just because of the uncertainty with the property. So that's why we're just going to be presenting these options here tonight at this time. You can go to the next slide. So here's option one. And the way these work is well, first let me explain where this is going to be. This is going to be right out front of City Hall, kind of parallel to the building itself. Right now there's a curved decorative sidewalk and some pavers out there. There really isn't any landscaping. It's just rock and sidewalk, and then the landscaping kind of begins where City Hall begins. So the idea would be to build that and some of that existing what's now rock area. And these designs were all meant to fit in that location without going over to the sidewalk at all. So this first one here has a really large display, and it's very low to the ground. If you'll notice, none of these are over 6 foot, I think, is the tallest, which is this one. And the idea is we wanted something low to the ground that wouldn't be an obstacle to block traffic for city vehicles pulling out of our driveway, so that you could still see around it, but something that's still visible from both sides of traffic. So this would be option one here, and you can see at night it goes just to the screen and then a very light color, and we would be able to adjust the brightness on these at night and during the day so that we'd make sure that they're just right as far as not being too distracting or too bright. So the display and the lights around it would be fully adjustable. And then we would tie this in with the existing messaging at the library so that the slides would be the same. They do have the option to do some video on there, but we'd probably just stick with static slides. They're high resolution screens so that they can display high quality images like that of Horseshoe Bend in the photo. So here's option one, and then go to the next slide. This just is showing the height and to get a better perspective of how tall these are gonna be. And next slide. So these are just slight variations of that first option, 1A and 1B. So the main difference is the swoosh, as you would call it, is slightly overlapping in 1A, and also in 1B it appears as well. I don't see much of a difference between 1A and 1B. Am I missing? They look very, very similar, if not the same. I think maybe the swoosh is a little thicker on 1A versus 1B. But the big differences are in the additional options. So let's go to the next, slightly different. So here's what it would look like placed in that location. You can see how it just clears overlapping the sidewalk area, and obviously doesn't go into the road there. And so it kind of stays low to the ground. And this just kind of gives a good perspective of what it would look like. Go to the next slide. Here's option two. So this one I kind of like because the sign itself isn't overhanging as much, so it wouldn't be kind of a hazard to bicyclists or people walking down the sidewalk. It's more the sign itself, the digital portion, the screen is more contained within the logo and the rest of the monolith. So next slide. And this is that same option here. Next. And then here it would be on the sidewalk. I think it this one, personally, just, you know, it still is impactful. It's not as big of a screen, but it's a little, I think, just easier to imagine in that space just with a smaller size. Next. Here is option three, kind of a variation of both. So it does have a really large display, but it's very low to the ground on this one. And it is a bigger screen, but the mountain, the cliffs and is a little smaller to kind of accommodate that. The swoosh, I think, kind of might stick out a little too far. We wouldn't want to create any kind of sidewalk hazards or road hazards, but yeah, so that there could be adjustments to be made to any of these options moving forward. Next slide. And this is just showing that one again. Next. And this is what it would look like here. Next slide. And these are some other concepts. If we wanted something a little more simple, then they provided these for us. I kind of find the second one on the top row interesting. The logo is very small, so the sign kind of takes precedence, and then it has the very large cliffs, Vermilion Cliffs look behind it. And then some of the other ones are a little more simple. And is that the last slide? I think there might be. Okay. So these are the options that they had presented to us, and I just wanted to get some feedback from the board if there was any particular ones that they liked, and if you want me to go back to some other options, we can roll back to some of those.
I think you have plenty of options.
Yeah. So my only two cents is if you're in Page, you know you're here, right? So you don't need it to be massive. So I think the it's a gorgeous rendering of the cliffs, and then the screen, and then the smaller page.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's perfect.
So like the second one on the top row here.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I
something like that, right? I mean, it's the Page thing is nice. It's nice. It's on 89 where you see that really big sign. It says Page. That's nice. But when you get into town, you know you're at Page.
That's a really good point. Yep.
So, I think the cliffs is. I think it's a nice highlight, and then the events calendar is. It'd be awesome.
Okay. Thank you for your feedback.
That's 2 cents worth, and I can't draw a straight line, so
it works.
That's as good as it's gonna get.
So right. you like the top one?
Well, something like it.
On the
something like where the page isn't so huge, right? And you've got more of the landscape. And then a bigger screen, right? So, I should get better glasses because I'm squinting looking at this little screen. My screen at home.
I like number three back wherever you were at. I don't know where you were at.
Can we go back to number three?
There's too many options.
You see, the Page thing to me is just, it's nice, right? But
yeah,
that's great if it's on the main freeway or highway. But when you get into town, stick with the graphic. And then the subdued page, and then the information, basically, it's up there. I mean, that's my 2 cents.
Well, basically, they know they're in Page unless they took a wrong turn.
Exactly.
And then they don't know where they're at,
yeah.
Which has happened a lot.
Are any of those screens double-sided to where they could see them coming up the hill and going? Are they both?
It is. They're every concept is double-sided, so you can see it from both sides.
So you just want to put one of these right out here?
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Okay, it's awesome.
I apologize for, I haven't reviewed these yet, so I might throw Adam for a loop, but the engineer in me says we may need to talk about site distances and that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
With the height, that
yeah.
There's two driveways there that I don't know if we need to raise that sign up to get them over the sight line, but we can work that out at a staff level.
I think that's great. And then you are going to bring this back next month, so we have a little bit of time to check them out and review them. And
I think that's a good plan, and we can look at some of the sight lines too, and make sure that that's going to work in that location, and maybe we'll be able to bring some more options as well. I know you said there's a lot of options, but it might be a few more. I think we can just kind of table this till the next one.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I just want to put a word in. Also, I liked the one on the last page, the second one over at the top that several people pointed at. I think one of the things that's nice about that is that I feel like, you know, the swoosh is supposed to be, you know, river and lake water, but often I feel like that gets a little lost. But in that one, that looks like it looks like lake because there's depth in there. Not that we need to go too much into depth with the artistic side of it, but I think to me, you know, that looks more like a connection to Lake Powell, and I really like that. And I like the idea of being able to put, you know, data about lake levels and different, even water temperatures and things like that. People love to know that kind of stuff. One other thing, and I'm guessing you guys would probably think about this, I would think putting it a little bit up high. You know, I don't know if there's ever issues with vandalism, but that would be right across from one of the rowdier spots in town. So maybe putting it up a little bit higher might be a good idea for.
Are you saying the bowling alley is rowdy? The bowling alley is rowdy.
Well, they were playing music at 7 a.m. this morning.
I know. They're rowdy.
Never been in there, Vicky. Maybe you could tell us.
I've never been in there.
So real quick, is that a high-res screen, or is it?
It is. Yeah, we opted for the high-res one. They did have both options, but I figured just the nature of the area, we'd want to really see some nice images and have them display well. So it costs a little more, but I think it'd be worth it.
Right.
That's awesome.
And to the chair's point, maybe raising it up a bit might help with vehicles coming out of that driveway to see a little bit. So I think
Adam
and I have room to play here, maybe.
Yeah, we can look at maybe they can get us another concept where it's raised up. Are you thinking like a pole sign or like a monolith?
Maybe something like that. Is from a traffic engineer point of view, it's that 3-foot to 8-foot level is really where your drivers are looking out their window. But we can also draw some triangles on the page and based off the sight triangle distances to see if we even need to consider that or not.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll work on that.
That's awesome.
Very nice.
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, I like the stone that was in one of them. I think that looks nice and traditional, but you know, I realize raising it higher makes that a lot more expensive if it's masonry. But those are all my comments.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's see here. What do we have next? Sorry, I'm scrolling through things. I'm working on my laptop here. Next, we are up for the workforce housing project. So item 7C, that's related to the Coconino Community College workforce housing. This board has made several recommendations for the city to support that. So what we talked about was, you know, just creating a memo or a letter that basically states the board's preference to do infrastructure improvements and to include that in the city's budgeting process, which I believe is coming up here in May. So Frank and Adam, I don't know if you have more to say about that, but that's what that item is.
So I'm not sure if you can see this or if you've checked online, but the letter is in the packet here. And so if the board would give their support, this would be what they would be supporting. And this letter is similar in verbiage to what we've been using for some of the letters of recommendation for grant applications that Sylvia has been working on for us. But the project itself, I think probably everyone, well, except for Mark, are pretty familiar with it. The board's been discussing it. Did you want to give an overview of the project for Mark, Eric?
Sure. So over at Coconino Community College campus, you know, there's the main structure there. One of the issues they have is having student housing. There are a lot of folks that live out in very rural areas, and so that can be a barrier for those students. So this housing would help with getting some of those students, mainly out from the reservation, to where they can live near the school and focus entirely on school. And then I believe it's also workforce housing. So they've considered that half of the housing can allow for, you know, local businesses. I mean, it could be the school district, Aramark, to make agreements with the housing unit to have a certain amount that are available for use. And you know, housing is one of the big problems that we've had. We heard Judy Franz and we hear business owners complain about you know, not being able to find people that are able to work at their businesses. So we think this would be a good foundation, because when we want to attract people here, housing can be a big problem. So this helps the community college, but it also helps local businesses. And that's generally what the proposal is. I don't know, do others have anything to add, Frank or Adam or Vicky? You've sat through this presentation a few times.
I just want to add that this specific letter of support is for using city funds to help with some of the infrastructure. Arizona is kind of unique in a state that, you know, for economic development projects, we can't give funds directly to private businesses. A lot of states you can. Here, one of the only tools that we actually have to support a project like this with city funds would be to help out with infrastructure. And the reason why is because that infrastructure also serves a public good. So the idea here is, does the board want to support using city funds? And in this case, it would be $2 million for that infrastructure, and use that to lay the groundwork for this project to be able to come in. And also, we have applied to various grants to get some additional funding to support that as well.
What is the college committed to do? Just, we're going to do the infrastructure and they're going to build?
So units? The project is actually going to be constructed by Genterra. Okay. So, and the ultimate plan is that it's not just going to be student housing. It's going to be half and half. So it's going to be workforce and student housing. So it'll be a combined project.
And the college's contribution, I don't know the exact numbers, but that's part of that bond that was passed,
right?
Is this project.
Right. Okay.
Councilor Hammond, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to add on that in considering this infrastructure portion, it would benefit the community college, but also other developers that might want to come into the area. And specifically, if we continue the road and the infrastructure all the way through, it would also benefit the Jarrett Edwards affordable housing development. Mr. Marbury, I don't know if you want to talk more specifically. Sorry, I don't have like the roads in front of me and that sort of thing, but that's the concept, sort of like the road that was put in over by Lakeview to make that area more attractive to developers. It would benefit the whole community, not just the community college.
Sure, thank you, Councilor, for that. Yeah, and this is also another budget consideration Council's gonna be looking at. I think that's New Bern Road, maybe over that way. I'm still learning my roads.
Yeah.
Yes, and, thank you, New Bern.
And right now, Council's considering, I think the dollar amount is somewhere around 1.5 for that subdivision and to build some of the infrastructure for that one as well. And the trade-off would be with that development that it would be, they would restrict the short-term rentals, so there wouldn't be allowed any short-term rentals to try and get low-cost housing for permanent people or workers rather than VRBO type or Airbnb type units. So I think these two are close together.
Yeah, I think we're oversaturated with vacation rentals.
Yeah. So I'd like to make a quick comment about that too, right? So I did a little bit of research. You know, roughly 3,000 homes in this area, half are stick frame and the other half are prefab, right? And of those 3,000 units, 600 are Airbnbs or they're short-term rentals, right? So that, you know, you think about the amount of tax dollars that are generated by people visiting because they're short-term rentals and are not, and they're roughly, the vacancy rate's roughly 50%, a little bit higher because of the low season. I agree 100% that the housing that is put in should be for students and for, you know, for some of the local businesses. Now, on the student side, if we're getting students off the reservation, and I know this because my son married into a family where there's a gentleman that just, he's going to Yavapai, but the benefits that the students get off the reservation, the government benefits, pay for their housing. Right, so I think there's, you know, if you look at the mix of the student housing versus the open housing, right, for everybody else, I think there's a way we could work those numbers and it'd be beneficial for the entire community.
Oh, I think it's awesome. So do we need to make a motion to?
Yeah, well, I wanted to offer one more thing before we do that. I think another thing that we talked about is just, you know, we're starting to build sidewalks down on Hall Road, and I think that some of this work is gonna make that connection a little bit better, right? There's kind of a dead zone between the community college and when you get down to New Bern. I think this will fill that out a little bit and make that a little bit more of a comfortable pedestrian throughway from up near the high school and all that, getting down toward the sports complex. And I think for young people, that's gonna be an especially important thing and kind of attracting people to our community, being more connected to the sports complex, the para club is down there. That's not the main goal of this project, but I do think it would help actually connect things a little bit better. They're a little bit disconnected right now, so.
So my question is still, do we need to make a motion?
Yes.
Or the letter? Adam?
Yes, I think we do.
Yes.
Okay. If you would like. I make a motion that we accept this letter and recommend it to the City Council.
You did it.
I
second that.
Did I do
it? I second that motion.
Okay.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? All right. The motion passes then, and we'll go ahead and sign that. All right, and with that, I think we have wrapped up. That's the last item.
Do we want to discuss?
Actually, we have one more, sorry. 7D is rescheduling EDAP meeting in May to avoid Memorial Day. What do we think, Becky, are there other dates that we want to propose?
Let me check the calendar.
And you're the only one that has to sign this letter. We don't get to sign it. I'm upset.
We could all scrawl on it, give it an extra weight.
Constitution style.
Yes.
Constitution style, yeah.
Declaration.
I think in the future, we could add some extra lines on letters of support so that we can maybe all the supporting members of the board could sign if they
yeah,
would like
and
to.
Later on, you can figure out who to blame. Yeah, for signing perfect. It. Yes.
Start practicing your penmanship.
I got it.
I bet you do.
I bet I do.
Okay, Eric, so Memorial Day falls on the 25th of May. The 26th of May is available for a meeting in here. Which is a Tuesday.
Is that the only day in May? Monday?
For Mondays, all of them are not available.
Okay.
We can't do the 27th because it's city council. There's Thursday, the 28th, that's available.
I'm good.
I think Vicki, was the 26th not good for you?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
I am here.
I think maybe what do other folks think about the 26th?
Yeah, I'm good with. I'm okay with that.
Mark, you good with
26th?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely,
I'm
fine.
We're all okay.
Wow, it's really that easy. Okay.
Was that easy?
Well, I think we have to vote on that one too, right?
Oh, Adam, make a motion.
Yeah.
I'll second it.
Let's see, I motion to put us on Tuesday, May 26th for our next meeting.
At 5:30.
At 5:30.
I second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Second. All right, all those opposed? All right, it will be on the 26th. Thanks for making that easy. All right, with that, I think we'll go ahead and adjourn. Thanks, everybody.